He got permission from Holy Father that not only were the individual Franciscans not own anything, but the Franciscan order would not own anything. A single building, any piece of property. And over the centuries, there have been many divisions in Franciscan communities. The three biggest ones, as you know, are the OFMs, Order of Friars Minor. Then there are the Capuchins. And then there are the Conventuals, the three major divisions. The Conventuals got permission from the then reigning Pope so they can own property as a community. St. Ignatius asked the then reigning Pope for the vow of dispossession by the community. Pope said, no, you're supposed to teach. If you don't own the schools which you teach, then you will be subject to the one who owns the property. They tell you what to teach, otherwise get out of the school. And most of the divisions in Franciscan communities have been over this vow of dispossession. Whether, in other words, the community should give up the right to corporate ownership. You know, that was on order. Now the mendicant. A mendicant order, first of all, is an order, as we've just explained. It is moreover one that lives exclusively on begging. In other words, and this then would be the vow of dispossession, but not just dispossession in a general sense, but corporate dispossession. And moreover, corporate dispossession so that even if, say, there is property which is not owned, say, by the strict Franciscans, that they, in our modern language, would not invest money, would not have money which may have come as a gift. But that gift money then could be invested, and that could be source of income. Now, once you see that, there's a broad spectrum of how strict mendicant orders are. Some more strict than others. And sisters, the future of any community depends on how faithful they are to their vow of poverty. I think that covers the three questions. And now, sisters, Frank did pick up. This is the book called, oh, I can't. You're welcome, sister. These are prayers. I think there are 12 chapters to the prayer book. And there are prayers, well, that are really priestly prayers. Because remember, at the heart of the priesthood is what? Is sacrifice. So here, for example, O sacred banquet, which Christ has received, the memory of his passion is renewed, the mind is filled with grace, and the pledge of future glory is given to us. Let us pray, O God, we possess a lasting memorial of your passion in this wondrous sacrament, that we may so venerate the mysteries of your body and blood, and may always feel within ourselves the effect of your redemption, who live and rule with God the Father, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. And there are, you know, sister, since you asked for it, would you find some prayer for priests? Now, since you can sit down and just take your time. Now, when you revise something, to find the index.
The index of the
And our next conference is on an unusual subject. Catholic Christianity, the religion of sacrifice. Catholic Christianity, the religion of sacrifice. First, by way of introduction, there is no priesthood without sacrifice. All the religions before Christ, no exceptions, all the religions have a priesthood and have sacrifices. Babylonian, Roman, Greek, Assyrian, Chaldean, all of them. And one of the courses that I've taught is a course in Egyptian religion, a course in Babylonian religion. Very interesting. And they all had both priests and sacrifices. Judaism began. Who was the first member of the Jewish religion? Abraham. Was Abraham, well, asked to offer sacrifice?
Yes.
Remember? And since Christ's coming, all the religions that are, watch this, all the religions that go back to before Christ in their origins have sacrifice. Thank you.
Oh.
Chapter. Oh.